Amen. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be back into Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 12, actually the very same verses we did last week. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. And let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the message that you've burned in my heart. And help me this morning, Lord. Teach it and preach it. I pray that you'll let it go forth and minister and encourage and sometimes correct and everything that the Word of God is meant to do. And we trust you, Lord. Father, we pray for all the needs of our church, the spoken and unspoken prayer requests, everything that's going on. Pray for all of our church family and friends and neighbors. We love you. We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, so if you missed last week, I went off the Bible study of the book of John. We've been going through the book of John, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to jump out here for a couple weeks and talk about this. Last week I talked about depression and what the Bible says depression is and where it comes from and that kind of thing. If you did not hear it, please check it out on our Facebook page or our website. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And there's one up here too. But please go check it out. I think it will minister to you. I'll share with the deacons this morning, and I've had the most feedback from almost any of the messages that I've preached in 3 years, which last Sunday was 3 years. We've been here. Yay. But there's a lot of folks that have struggled at one time and maybe still struggle with depression. And so I got a lot of really good positive feedback. And bless you. So we're going to continue that message this morning. And we're going to go into, this morning, we're going to talk about anxiety. So last week, where does depression come from? Anxiety, right? So let's read the Proverbs. Proverbs 12, 25, and 26. I've got the New King James Version. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. That's what we talked about all last week, last Sunday. But it goes on to say, but a good word makes it glad. And in verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So I'll talk about this. Let me put it this way. Can a Christian get depressed or have anxiety? Absolutely they can. I know I covered this a little bit last week, but we're going to do a little small recap. They can have depression or anxiety just like any other sickness or any other illness. Yes. Okay, so today, like I said, we're going to talk about anxiety and what the Bible says about anxiety. So, verse 25. Got to cover this a little bit for folks that maybe wouldn't hear last Sunday, so hang with me. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. And that a good word makes it glad is where I'm going to spend 80% of the message, so hang with me. But we've got to review this again. Anxiety in the Greek, right? When we look up the Greek definition, anxiety means a heaviness, a worry, fearful. It means being overly careful or cautious. That's what anxiety, the Greek definition of anxiety means. And then that other part of that is the heart of man. And most of you remember this from last week, but that heart of man in the Greek, what that means is the thoughts of the inner man. That heart of man means the thoughts of the inner man, which is what the Bible calls our soul. And our soul is made up of what? Mind, will, and emotions. It's really, later on we're going to talk about that, and it's going to really make sense even more, okay? So the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. That's the heart of man that's talking about right there. And then depression, we talked about last week, the Bible definition, the Greek of that depression means stoop or crouch or to fall down lowly. Now, when I was studying it this week, this kind of came to me a little bit, but it said to fall down lowly. It did not say to lay down slowly. And the reason I think for that is that some people think that people want to be depressed. If you're ignorant, we're all ignorant about something, right? I mean, you know, understanding the definition of ignorance and stupidity. Okay, but you know, we're all ignorant about something. That means you just don't know. You just don't have the information or knowledge or whatever. But some folks are ignorant about this. Stop, Glenn. I got to focus. Some people think that people just want to be depressed. Oh, she wants to be depressed. I've heard people say that, you know. Oh, he's just trying to get attention. He just wants to. No, the Bible talks about fall down. In other words, fall down. Not you know, lay myself down. So you really look at those. That's why it's important when you want to read the Bible or study the Bible, it's real important to not just kind of read through the Bible. It's okay to do that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But when you really start doing serious Bible study, you want to really do that inductive type Bible study where you look at the who, where, when, where, and how. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you know what I mean. And you get into the real definitions of the words. Even Webster, you know, Webster, I think he said he could quote most of the New Testament. That's a pretty awesome guy, right? So that depression is talking about falling down. Okay? All right, so let's move on to 25b. Okay, it goes on to say, but a good word makes it glad. So a good word. So if anxiety causes, you know, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, then it goes on to say, but a good word makes it glad. Everybody say good word. Good word. One more time. Good word. Okay, so a good word makes it glad. So now let's take the rest of the message and let's talk about that. Three things stand out to me in regards to a good word. Okay? Words, first one is words heard from God. And then words heard from friends. And then words heard from self. So you got words heard from God, words heard from friends, and then words heard from self. And we really need to take a look at these three. So we'll start with the first one. Words heard from God. I 100% agree with this, and nobody can convince me otherwise. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I really believe that the number one good word to combat anxiety is the Word of God. It's God's Word is the number one way that we combat anxiety. Okay. Now I'm going to say something kind of direct, and you know, if I step on your toes, then so be it. But okay, so here we go. Ready? If you suffer from anxiety, and I know I have folks listening, you know, on the Facebook and on the website too. So if you suffer from anxiety, you have to make a decision to be responsible and learn the Word of God. It requires personal responsibility, a decision that you make that I'm going to find 3 or 4 or 5 verses and I'm going to take that effort, which requires work, right? And all this is the sign of a mature believer. We talked about that in Hebrews, remember? But you have to memorize some of these verses. And it's going to take some work and some effort, but you're going to need to memorize certain verses. Okay? And so this came to me this week. My prayer for you, and my prayer for myself too, is this. Is that God will teach us to be humble servant warriors. And this is three words that they don't mesh in the secular world too good. But in the Christian world, as a follower of Christ, amen. My prayer for me and my prayer for you is that God would teach us, begin to teach us more and more about how to be a humble servant warrior. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says this: our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And guys, battles are always fought with weapons. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this: for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul. Piercing to the division of the soul. Division of the soul, mind, will, and emotions. Look at what God's telling us, y'all. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul. I'm reading it. And then it goes on about the joints and marrow. So I pray for my joints, you know. Literally, right? To the joints and the marrow. And, listen up, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The thoughts. This is the word of God. This is our weapon. Amen. It talks about the division of the soul right here. And so look that word soul, because you got to look up soul and spirit every time you see it, because it means something a little bit different each time. It's not always the same word, Hebrew or Greek, either way. So in this particular scripture right here, everybody with me? When it talks about the division of the soul and of the spirit, when it says soul, it literally means, the Greek is, just, there's no other word. The Greek is psyche. Now, you know, the world's taken that word and twisted it all up and made something crazy out of it. But this is the Greek. It's the psyche. In other words, listen closely. If you look at what that means, that word means psyche, it means the seat of the feelings. It's like if I had a seat right here, and we sat in that seat. That seat right there is the, and the soul part is the seat of the feelings. Are y'all hearing this? Is the spirit speaking to you? This is the feelings. We all know. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but that's our emotions. Happy, sad, right? Angry, mad, agitated, pleasure. That's our feelings. This is the Bible talking about this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Listen closely. We cast down who? We cast down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I mean, look at this, guys. We cast down arguments. Well, arguments? We're not talking about you arguing against your neighbor or arguing against your employer. We're talking about, it's the Bible's talking about those arguments that we have inside our head. Right? Those arguments that we have. And don't look at me like you don't have them, because you know you do. Those arguments in your head. I can do it. No, I can't. You're not good enough. Well, maybe I am. I'm not smart enough. Well, yeah, well, maybe so. But what if they knew everything that was going on in my private life? Maybe, no, those crazy arguments that go back and forth. Oh, we'll talk about those more in just a little bit. We have to cast down those arguments And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, if what's going on inside of your brain and your head and your thoughts, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's false. It's not true. It's a lie. And we can't believe that. It says bringing every thought. This is the scripture. Bringing every thought to captive to the obedience of Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So if the thoughts that are going in and out of our head sometimes, if they don't line up with God's word, right? The only way to gain peace in the midst of anxiety is to turn to God, trusting in His perfect will and His power to hold us in His hand. Amen? The best way to remember this is to stay in the Word of God. Now, here's some verses I'm going to give you. I'm going to shotgun them out real quick right here, right? So hang with me if you have taken notes. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Now remember, we're talking about anxiety because anxiety leads to depression. Okay, so Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." Everybody say everything. Are you all getting tired of me asking you to do that? I know it's a goofy little tick I have. Maybe, I don't know. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In our discipleship group, John, right? I told John I was going to talk about this. That word supplication. Prayer and supplication. That word supplication is a deep word. Prayer is prayer. You can pray for me and I can pray for you. But when the Holy Spirit puts it on us to enter into supplication, it's a deeper word. It's more of where we get this word intercession from, like an intercessory prayer warrior, a person who goes deeper into their prayers. The intercession, that supplication that's a person who takes it to a whole nother level. In other words, they start interceding for someone or for themselves, but most time it's for someone else, to God. Everybody got it? So that's a go study that word, supplication. We don't have to be anxious. We can freely talk with God. We can freely talk with God. We can cry out to Him and He will hear us if we're having anxiety. John 14:27, Jesus says this. John 14:27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we all search for peace. Most of us have peace. We don't realize it. We have Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He is peace. He gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding. He even says, "I don't give the peace that the world gives." Jesus knew that the peace that the world gives is not temporary. It just goes in and out based on things that are going on. God's peace is permanent. Now let me give you a scripture. I absolutely love this scripture. I always say it's one of my favorite scriptures. But it really is. Listen to this and write this down. Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not." In other words, don't be afraid. "Fear not, for I am with you." This is God Almighty. This is our Heavenly Father, who is a good, good Father. He's telling us. He's giving us these very specific little statements and commands. He says, fear not, for I am with you. He said, be not dismayed. That word dismayed means a loss of courage. Just, you know, that just that man, I don't know if I can do it anymore. That loss of courage. He says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. He said, I will strengthen you. And listen to this. He says, yes, I will help you. And he says, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's encouraging for me, guys. I'm just going to read it again kind of real fast. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise the Lord, right? Not only will God give us peace, that He will also strengthen us. Think about the image of God in His mighty right hand, strengthening and holding you, holding us in our time of need. Psalms 94:19. I find this verse kind of interesting, the way it's worded. Psalms 94:19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me. I mean, right? In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Your comforts delight my soul. You see, anxiety can make us feel sad. It can make us feel upset. But God will bring you joy. A couple more verses. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Freedom from fear is empowering. Oftentimes fear can make you feel like you're in a trap. It can control you. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God cares about you so much that He allows us to cast all our cares upon His shoulders. First Peter 5:7. All right, so the second thing we need to look at is words from our friends. Everybody ready? Words from our friends. Sometimes, like I mentioned last week, it's a good thing that we find a trusted friend that we can talk to, especially a friend who's a mature, good Christian brother or sister. Sometimes it makes us feel better when we talk to a friend. Or maybe we talk to a pastor or a counselor. And then there are times, like I talked about last week, that it's good that we go see a doctor. And we talk to a doctor about what we're going through. Please hear me. It's perfectly fine for a Christian to go see a doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine for a Christian who loves Jesus to go take medication from a doctor about anxiety or depression or any other reason. I mean, why do I wear these glasses? Is it because I have a spiritual problem? Is it because I have a psychological problem? No, it's I have a biological problem with an organ in my body. My eyeballs. Why? I don't really know. It is what it is. See, if I take them off, whew. I mean, what'd you say? I can't see Walt back there. I know it's him, but he's real blurry, you know? And, I could stay in denial and say, I don't need these glasses. I'm fine. I don't need to go see no quack. I don't need no doctor. What do they know? You know, I'm good. I could be bullheaded and stubborn and prideful or whatever else, you know. But if I humble myself, right? If I humble myself and be a little willing to follow suggestions and put my glasses on, go get them filled, and then, wow, man, I feel a lot better. I'm a lot better. I can see walk clear now. Your brain is an organ in your body. And sometimes our brains just don't work quite right. Sometimes our knees don't work quite right, right? Our hip, our heart, our gizzards, our ears. None of us are perfect. Sometimes that little organ in our body and our brain just don't work quite right. And so medication may be very helpful for people with anxiety, depression, those kind of things. Amen? But here's the thing. Now, I'm going to get deep with you a little bit. Everybody ready? We're Christian brothers and sisters. You have to be careful not to listen to the enemy. You know, we have to be careful not to listen to naysayers. We have to be careful not to listen to people who are just foolish or ignorant. We have to be careful not to listen to our own sin nature. You know, I think the devil gets way too much credit for things. Kind of like old Flip Wilson started that, didn't he? Remember that? Y'all old enough to remember that. You know, devil made me do it. Remember that? I can't tell that joke at where I work, you know. None of them get it. Yeah, anyway. Most time, Paul said, most time it's just a sin within him. It's flesh nature, sin nature. But we can't listen to it when we hear these things like, if you were saved, you wouldn't think those kind of things. That's a lie. We all think them. You're not a Christian. Because you know Christians don't have these kind of problems. That's a lie. That's a straight up lie. Don't believe it. If you really loved Jesus, you would not have these issues. That's a lie. Don't listen. Don't listen to those lies. A lot of Christians who love Jesus have what some people call strange or weird thoughts. Some have had in the past, years ago maybe, or some maybe still have, what we call in the counseling field, intrusive thoughts. And intrusive thoughts are things that pop into your mind that are not good. Maybe bad. Okay? And you would never, ever do those things. Never. But sometimes they pop in there. Men and women. Some people at times, once in a while, will have thoughts pop in their mind about inappropriate actions. Right? That you would never, ever do that. Never in a million years. I'd say half the people in this church right now have had those kind of things happen with anxiety and thoughts and that sort of thing. Let's have a show of hands. We'll start with the ladies. Ladies, if you've ever had thoughts pop into your mind that you know you shouldn't have and that you struggle with and, you know, that kind of thing sometime in your life, raise your hand all the way up and hold it there. Just hold it there. Ladies, look around. Look. Amen? See, look at me. You are not alone. You are not alone. You're not the only one that's had these things. This, you know. You're a human being. Amen? Men, I'm not going to leave you out. Because you're real sick. But men, How many of you guys would admit you've had struggles with some of the same issues? And even, you know, ladies, we can go down another road with that, right? With time of the month and the change of life and emotional stuff. Yeah, right? But men, we got all issues too. And one of them came up in the men's meeting last week, and I love that. It was like, how many men have struggled with the anxiety and different thoughts popping in your brain? But a lot of men sometimes struggle with that question of, do I really have what it takes? Can I really take care of my family? Can I really do the right thing? You know, those kind of things. But men, raise your hand if you've ever had anxiety issues and things that pop in your brain. Men, look around, see? Me too. We're not alone. We're not alone. Amen? Thank you guys for being honest. I appreciate it. I prayed about that all week, whether I was going to do that exercise, because sometimes it can put people on the spot. We ain't got time, do we? We got to get honest. We got to get real. Life's too short. And I tell you what really kicked it off for me to really make the decision to go ahead and have the raising the hands. I read Kelly's mission for the women. You know what I'm talking about? It's in your bulletin. It's a little mission statement of the women's ministry. All right, so the last good word, remember it says a good word makes it happy? It being the heart of man. Okay, the last good word, and we'll finish up quickly here. Words heard from ourself. Everybody say self. Words heard from self. Okay. We must use. You gotta know how to use it first, right? We must use the Word of God and the positive words from friends to speak truth into ourselves. We must use the Word of God. If this new movie coming out, Midway. Remember the Midway, the old movie? Where they're remaking it. I can't wait to go see it. I love them old war movies, you know. But I was thinking about that, and I think, you know, the Japanese, Pearl Harbor, and they had thoughts about landing on the West Coast. And what if they did, you know? What if they really landed and we were living there now? And we were all told, man, you know, the Russians or the Japanese or whatever has hit the beaches of Gulf Coast, and they're everywhere, which Hitler really tried to do. You can go over there, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Submarines right over there off the coast where Hitler's submarines crashed. Anyway, side point. Stay focused, Dallas. I just completely forgot what I was going to say. Maybe it was what important. What was I talking about, Zach? Oh, thank you. Midway. Whew. Midway. What about it? No, I'm just kidding. I got it. I've got it now. that's called a GABA glitch. So your GABA neurotransmitters, you know, are connecting like electrical currents really in your brain. And if you have a GABA glitch, you go, choo-choo. That happens to all of us. Don't laugh at me. It does. You go, oh, man, what was I saying? That's called a GABA glitch. But anyway, well, I'm about to forget again. Help me, Lord. Midway, right? Midway, and to say the Russians and everything. This is a stupid example. I'm going to go with it now. I'm already there. They attacked the Gulf Coast, all that. And if, you know, Pete and Adam and a couple of you guys that know about weapons, they started coming in and issuing us, you know, M16s and AK-47s. And you know, the Russians are coming, you know. And you take it home with you, and if you don't know how to use it, what good is it going to do you? You can have an AK-47 or, you know, a bazooka, or, you know. You know what I'm saying? You can have a really cool weapon to protect you and your family, but if you don't know how to use it, it's not going to do you much good. You can tote the Bible around, right? But if you haven't memorized some scriptures so that it can be that weapon for you, you're not going to be able to use it. Okay, so Proverbs 18:21, we're talking about speaking positive things over our life. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death is in our tongue. We must take responsibility of our thoughts to speak truth over our own lives. If our thoughts and feelings are not lining up with God's word, then it's the what? It's a lie. If those thoughts and feelings are not lining up with God's word, it's a lie. It must line up with God's word. Now let me quote something from this cat named Martin Lloyd Jones. He was an author. He wrote a book called Spiritual Depression, and let me read it to you. It says, you have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must say to your soul, why art thou cast down? What business have you to be disquieted? You must turn on yourself, unbraid yourself, exhort yourself, and say to yourself, hope thou in God, instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God, who God is, and what God is, and what God has done, and what God has pledged himself to do. Amen? Guys, anxiety can hit us from all directions. It can hit us from school, from work, from stress and family, even a mental illness. Anxiety can take over our lives. As someone who used to struggle real bad with anxiety, I can tell you sometimes our biggest mistake is we try to control it. We try to control it. When what we need to do is we need to give it over to God. Because He controls everything. He's Almighty God. And I'll end with this scripture, Genesis 2:7. We have to remember this scripture. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See, God wanted us to have feelings and emotions. He wanted us to be able to think for ourselves, and He wanted us to be able to decide what we do and what we not do. That's our soul. Hold your hand up and look at it. Play along with me. Just keep looking at it. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We can't forget. We're just dust. God formed us. We're just dust of the ground. He knows us. He understands us. He believes in us. He loves us so much that He sent His only Son to die on the cross, be buried in the grave, and be raised up on the third day. And He has a home for us. And He's coming back to get us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this word. Thank You for the truth. Lord, if there's anyone here that's never made Christ, never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray during this song of invitation they'd come down. I'd be glad to pray with them. Maybe there's someone that needs to come and pray at the altar and make that decision today that I'm going to end this stuff that's going on in my life. I'm going to end this stuff that's going on in my mind. And from this day forward, I'm going to place to learn the Scripture and trust You. Maybe go see a counselor, a doctor, or a friend. But today they're going to make a decision to take action. Father, we trust You, and during this song of invitation, that Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.